This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Community Corner, and today it's my pleasure to have in the studio with me Campbell Rule, who is the organiser of the 2026 Hastings Toys and Collectibles Fair, which will be taking place on Saturday the 1st of August at Twyford School, which is in Thompson Road in Hastings. Campbell, welcome to Community Corner.
Thank you so much for having me here, mate.
My absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. Now, before we talk about the fair, tell us a little bit about you, Campbell. What got you interested in collectibles and collecting?
Oh, excellent. Well, as you know, parents, you know, so we had my mum and dad were sort of hardworking people. So, but back in the days was G.I. Joe for me. I was a collectible G.I. Joes.
Yes.
My older brother was a collectible, which is, you know, works for, does a station for you guys. Mm-hmm. He was into Transformers still to this day. And my younger brother was into Star Wars. But we always sort of dibble and dabble in both those lines. And then we sort of gravitated, like, I wanted to get into the military, so I gravitated towards G.I. Joe. My younger brother, who's a Star Wars sci-fi like myself.
Yes.
And Brent, well, the Transformers. But yeah, it sort of clears up with that. And then, lo and behold, I didn't throw away my toys, my Joes, boxed them all up. And then I was working here in Hastings. I've actually moved, of course. And I was talking to a workmate of mine, and we're talking about collections and old school stuff like nostalgia, which got us inspired. And he goes, you need to come to my house. Went to his house, and he said to me, you've got to be proud of your collection, mate. Show it off.
Absolutely.
I was like, what, really? Yep, don't be ashamed of it. So, yep, sure is. I started looking around and started getting cabinets and showing off my collection.
I guess the thing about being a child, though, is we don't know what's going to be collectible. And it's important, isn't it, perhaps, to keep boxes.
Yep.
Because that makes it collectible, much more collectible, doesn't it, if it's original.
And you mean keep it in its box?
Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah. So I have started collecting, thanks to an Australian friend of mine who's, I'm a YouTuber, so he's also a YouTuber, so we send each other gifts. So he's got me into the MOTU Masters of the Universe modern figures.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep, sure as hell, I've started collecting that as well.
Yeah.
Because it's the box art that is actually quite gorgeous. Yeah. And sure, I go out and I review the figure, and then I put it back in this box, and then I seal it back up again because the box art is what makes it pop, and that's what's amazing with looking back in the day. That's what caught your eye in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, this is really cool. I remember as a kid just spending ages at Toys R Us, Farmers, Toy World. Bunkers back in the day, you know, back in Hawke's Bay. Unfortunately, they're no longer there. And just spent ages like, I mean, yeah, I'm going to get this one next and try and save you pocket money.
Yeah. What makes something collectible? Does it have to be old to be collectible?
No, it doesn't be old at all. Some people like to collect pens. Some like to collect drink bottles.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, really. Even, I see you got a whole heap of monitors up there.
Mm-hmm.
Even people collect monitors.
Yeah. It's hard to believe, isn't it? All right, so let's talk about let's just start with you for a minute. You've been collecting for a lot of years. What's the most unique item you've come across?
Unique item I've come across. Okay, so the most unique item I've come across, which is weird but also quite expensive, is a character called the Red Ninja, and he's not red.
He's
a horrible pinkish, bluish character. And the funny thing is, I brought this guy. I didn't like him. I sold him. And then many years ago, my wife brought me this book on G.I. Joe collecting and its price and value. And I went down and found out how much this vehicle and this figure was worth. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've made a huge mistake.
Yes.
But where I work now, a huge shout out to, I can't say his name because he's quite shy, but we'll call him DN.
Yes.
He had a whole box of nostalgia G.I. Joe figures.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm more into Lego. I was like, Lego's quite collectible. I'll give this to you. And I said, you can't just give it to me. He says, I'd rather it's gone to a good home. And what he had in the box was a mint red ninja and vehicle.
Well,
just missing the axe. And I saw it, and I had the axe, which is a weapon.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got that at home still. So it's come back to me. Well, and I said to him, like,
it's fate.
It's fate, yeah.
I wonder, let's talk about the fair now, because I was wondering, who comes along to the fair? Is it, I hate to use the word nerds, but you know what I mean.
Nerds are cool.
Yeah. Or is it a cross section of the community? Is it kids? Is it adults? Is it grey hairs like me? Who is it? Who comes along?
It's a whole range of people that come along. Now, like myself, I go along because I film it,
mm-hmm.
but also I go around for a good hunt for my collection,
yes.
like JoJo or Action Man. I also collect Action Man as well. There's also people who have, I would say, people like modern kids, Thomas the Tank Engine fans. I'm saying that because I helped a father out with an autistic kid. And he was after Thomas the Tank Engine, and he lost him. So on my last toy fair, I was doing a podcast, and I was up on the stage. And I said, look, come up here. As long as you're quiet, you can look around and scan for your son.
Mm.
I took a break, and I helped him out. And,
marvellous.
Modern. And I said Thomas the Tank Engine, so it's also modern trains.
Mm.
It's just a whole range of people to come along. It's a real family affair. Yeah.
And I wonder, I suppose at some stage in our lives, we've all been collectors, haven't we? Because, whether we collect, my wife, for instance, she's got a lot of Christmas ornaments, they're soldiers. And she probably wouldn't think she was a collector, but she's got about 100 of them because she just loves them. But
it's a collector.
It's a collector, that's a collector, absolutely right.
Yeah.
And do you find it's a male-oriented, should we call it profession, a hobby, passion? Is it mostly guys do it?
Yeah. No, there's actually women that do it too, which shocked me. As I said, when I was my teenage years to my early 20s, I kept my collection in a box. And it wasn't until I sort of hit 30, and as I said before, met up with a fellow workmate who insisted I should display my collection. So I did that, and I did it quite proudly. And then I found out that other people, my wife's friends would come along, and they'd say, that's so cool. And then they'll say, like, well, I had Barbie dolls. I had My Little Pony. I had Cabbage Patch dolls. And I didn't thought about, like, displaying them.
Mm.
And it sort of, like, got me, like, wondering. And with me being a YouTuber, so I watch a lot of other toy films, anything with toys and collectibles, but a few of them would actually go to toy fairs, like over in England,
mm-hmm.
in America, and that's got me thinking, especially just before COVID, and I was like, does New Zealand have toy fairs? Mm. So I just typed up toy fairs in New Zealand, Dr. Google, and so where I'm living at the moment, Palmerston North, I found out Whanganui does one, a really big one.
Mm.
So I went to the first one, and this is way before I became a YouTuber. Went to the first one, I enjoyed it, loved it. And then I just realised I wanted to be a YouTuber, of course. So I announced on New Year's Eve that I was going to be a YouTuber. I promised my wife that I would be a cheap YouTuber and not sort of go all out with the expensive equipment until I make it big. So what I did was went out to this toy fair, and I found there was a whole range of people, even to like scouts who were selling off their remember the old plates with the queen and king on it and mugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
And I just sort of watched that and went, well, mum will be into that. But Mum's got a lot of stuff, so I thought, no, I'm not going to get that for Mum. But talk about my mum. She's a big Macho Man Randy Savage fan.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yep. So I end up sort of getting stuff for Macho Man, just little bits and pieces for her. So, and she loved that. My dad was into model railway trains. So I remember we set up a whole half the lounge with this model railway display, you know, on the table and all that. So a collectible, you can collect just about anything. Like some people collect old cameras.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess also collecting, we probably do it for our own satisfaction because a lot of stuff that people collect, it's really got no commercial value per se. So, unless you know, happen to have a Superman number one or like you were saying about that toy that you had, ooh, I wish I had kept that. But so you don't have to do it necessarily for the value, but do we sometimes fall into a trap where we think, okay, I'm going to collect, rosewood, cups and saucers.
Like a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and they cost a lot of money. And in a few years' time, you put them on the market and they're selling for a dollar each because everyone's got them. So,
yes, that can actually happen.
Yeah.
I would have to say that due to COVID-19, the nostalgia, the toy line of collectibles, and also like I said before, like the cups and like old school cameras, because people are sitting at home getting bored, they start off going, oh, you know, I used to do this, and I really enjoyed it. So you can go online and order this or, like, trade me or, as Americans do, eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely, I noticed that the price will go up and up.
Yeah.
And you go to yourself, wow, you know, I know I've got some really valuable equipment or figures and vehicles at home. Will I sell them? No.
So you won't sell them because they mean a lot to you or because you're not doing it as a commercial enterprise?
No. Some people do. Some people will go all out and buy large, like buy stuff from America or China and then bring them back here in New Zealand and do private bidding wars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I end up in a trap because there's that one part you just need to finish your collection, say, and G.I. Joe, I collect, wasn't in the 60s. I collected the ones from the 80s to 90s.
Mm.
So started in 1982, and I believe it finished in 1993. So there's always like 95, and there's a couple of figures you may not have there, but someone would have that figure.
Yes.
And yeah, it may not be complete, but you go, well, I just need that.
I've got to have that, yes.
I've got to have that. So you end up going into a bidding war.
Yeah.
And that's where the danger is.
Yeah.
Where I have now discovered, like, you go to the toy fairs, okay, sure, it may cost you a bit of petrol money, well, now.
Yeah.
But you can also barter, and then you also build up a personal friendship. Mm-hmm. Like you go to different stalls, and there's that one-on-one connection. And then I remember going to a toy fair in Whanganui. It would have been the second one. And I pointed out something, something I wanted. But it was out of my price range. And as I left the toy fair, the gentleman came up to me and says, you know what, you can have it for like $10.
Yeah.
Like, sweet.
That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But then I had, well, all of those 20, so I said, oh, $20, you and I are both happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit of give and take, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What are the trends at the moment, Campbell? I mean, what's the hot stuff people are collecting now? And is anything from the old days coming back?
Yes. So definitely I found that because of the new movie that's come out, the He-Man's of the He-Man. This is called, or MOTU. So MOTU stands for Masters of the Universe. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the new movie's out, that is definitely hot at the moment. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that's definitely out again. And if you go to the warehouse, it's almost like the old school figures. Transformers are always hot because they always bring out new movies.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, G.I. Joe, and that's something I was in, that was hot in the 80s, and that's what actually brought Hasbro out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they haven't quite done the films correctly. And it doesn't, and I suppose, well, what's happened with conflict around the world?
Yeah.
That's probably not the in thing at the moment. So I'm hopeful that it might pick up again.
Yeah. When does it run out of being popular? I mean, for instance, I mentioned China before, and I only use the word rose when it comes to any word I know, but you know, we've got quite a bit of China at home.
Yeah.
And we're of the age where our kids, for instance, they don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah.
And when we pass away, what will happen is they'll chuck it out. And the other thing is that I'm a big fan of the Lone Ranger, and I've got a bit of Lone Ranger stuff at home. But yeah, the Lone Ranger, the Clayton Moore, the character, who the guy who played the Lone Ranger, he's long gone.
Yeah.
And you know, guys like me who remember that series, who might have that stuff, when does it cease to be valuable? Because it can be very valuable at the moment.
It'll be very
because
valuable.
A lot of us old fellas still around. But
yeah,
what happens in 20 years' time when we're not here anymore? Does it still hold its value? Or to say, who was the Lone Ranger?
I would say it very much will hold its value. Mm. It depends on the condition of the... Mm. I'll say a toy, I'll say the item. I'll say items because I'll be in the middle.
Yeah.
So if it's well looked after, wonderful. Mm. And it's funny how you said that when I passed away or you passed away. So my mum passed away last year, unfortunately. So going through her stuff, I didn't have time to sort of mourn. I just had to... She was in a rental property, so I just had to literally
pack it up and get out.
And luckily for my mum, and thank you, mum, she was already looking at downsizing and moving to a newer location. Mm-hmm. So she already did half the stuff for me,
yep.
But there was still some stuff there. So do you remember the gypsy, the genie bottles?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep. I do remember those. I got one at home.
Well, I didn't want it. My brother didn't want it. And I just had to sit in there, and it took me a long time. I'm still going through my mum's stuff. A friend of mine who's also going to my toy fair, she's up in Auckland, she put up this picture of this bottle. And I went, oh, I've got that, and I saw the name of it. So I copied and pasted the name, went on Google, and I was like, wow, that's actually worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I can't, that's my mum's. Mm. I can't throw it out. I can't just give it away to this op shop.
Yeah.
Much as my wife doesn't really like it,
yeah.
Yeah. But because it's not junk and it actually holds its value, I've got more respect for it. I'm not saying mum has got junk, but
we all collect stuff which people think are junk. But,
yeah, she only had one bottle of it though,
yeah.
And so I love it. I collect dust, and you've got to wipe it down. And I've actually put fishing line wire around it.
Yeah.
And mounted to the wall, so you can't actually see it's there.
But in case it falls off.
Yeah, so I'm predicting that thing.
So who are you expecting to come along to this gig that you got in August? And what might you suggest to someone who is perhaps thinking about starting to be a collector? Because I think that if you're starting to think about being a collector, it might be that you think, okay, well, I might buy this or collect this because it's going to be worth something down the road.
Yeah.
What advice have you got? I mean, you're a collector. You've been doing it for a long time. What would you suggest to other people?
My advice to you is start small. Yep. Don't go big. That doesn't matter what you're looking at collecting. So and stick to a budget.
Mm.
So when I go to these toy fairs, I always got a budget.
Yep.
And I don't go over it. And if I can't afford it, it's not meant to be. Just walk away. You've got to also have that sort of mentality. Don't sort of blow the bank. Just walk away. But get that person's number, because they might be able to contact. You can contact them again and say, if you still got that, how about we work out a deal?
Mm-hmm.
Start off small. Always start off small. Don't try and blow the bank, especially if you've got a partner.
Yes.
So you've got to keep her. Keep your partner happy. Unless your partner is really into it. Now, if your partner is really into it, yeah, that means definitely keep a budget.
Yeah.
Because that is also, you can actually end up spending a lot more than you want to.
Yeah.
And you may be happy until you look at your bank account.
Yeah. It's collecting a bit like investing in shares, that you need to be there for the long haul. So, I mean, you might buy it at a premium today, and in a year's time they've lost a bit of favor, so you might lose half what you pay for. But is it the sort of thing that stay in there for the long term and it'll come back, or?
Yes, most definitely. So as I said before, I collect the 80s G.I. Joe figures. So yep. there's a few figures which are really quite brittle, and it's the type of room that you got. So, and the temperature. So it's the humidity. Mm. There's a thing called sun fade, and people who collect this would actually understand this. So even though you would love to put your collection display in the window, plastic, I suggest not.
No.
So I've got a room pretty similar to this, probably smaller, and I've got the curtains closed. Unfortunately, during summertime, it really heats up, so I'm looking at doing a fan, like a heat extraction. So when it gets to a certain temperature, it extracts all the heat out of that room and keeps it at a mint temperature.
Yes.
I can't remember offhand what the temperature is, but you can easily Google it, no matter what. But yeah, that's the price to pay for like the vintage plastics. They get really quite brittle.
A lot more to meet the eye, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and which is why I probably started a YouTube channel on restoring G.I. Joe figures. So the good thing about the G.I. Joe figures was that they were in a screw, and you can pull them all apart, and you can swap body parts over.
Yeah, that's a good point you raised. We're just about out of time, but I'll just go to that. My father, when he passed away, he was a bit of a collector of dinky toys and whatnot.
Yes.
And some of them have had the paint knocked off them, you know, because played by kids over the years. Would painting them up increase the value of them, or are you best to leave them
alone?
Leave them as they are with the marks and all?
So it goes both ways. If a person would either say, like, I like the look of the paint chipped, it means it's shown, it's been played with, there's a lot of love, I love it. If you want to do it for your own collection, and you're a pretty good painter, you can try and restore the paint yourself.
Does that devalue it to a collector down the track?
It possibly can. I know that people have paid me to restore some of, and I don't like doing this. I'd rather restore the figures myself and show people, because I said I'm a YouTuber, and that's what I do. I like to show them how to restore them.
Yes.
To the best of the ability, only for display purposes. So it's if it's broken, it's a good thing. If it's broken, it's already lost its value.
Yeah.
But by repairing it, you may, and adding a little bit of extra love, you may actually add the value. So some people have actually said, like, I want to buy something of yours that you repair because I know that you've repaired it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're just about out of time. Got a minute to go. Just to remind our listeners that we want to come along to the Hastings Toys and Collectibles Fair. Where is it? What time is it? And how much does it cost to get in?
Okay. So it is at 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Entry is $5, but kids under 10 are free. And I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of Matchbox. There's going to be a lot of stuff there. It's also, the charity is going to be the Radio Hawke's Bay.
Nice one.
This is awesome. And I've got to have a special thanks to the Warehouse Stationery and the Warehouse who have gladly come aboard to help with this. I'm here today to sort of promote this, so I'm going to be in the neighbourhood for like the next couple of days to brought out flyers and all that, so you'll see the flyers all around Hastings and hopefully Napier in Terradale.
Marvellous. Yeah. Good on you, Campbell. Thanks for having the chat to me today. I wish you well for the fair, and look forward to talking to you again sometime in the very near future.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Thank you so much.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.